Unsolved Mysteries. Out of deference to people who may still be living, character names in some of these unsolved mysteries have been changed. No piece of fiction is more intriguing than a story dealing with the activities of a brilliant spy. But truth is more daring, more astounding, much more intriguing in tonight's true unsolved mystery dealing with the disappearance of Captain Gerald Neville, holder of the Military Cross and Britain's master spy. Scene is one of London's most fashionable hotels. Tourists, visitors, some arriving, some leaving, pass in a constant stream through the open door. Outside, the traffic roars by in a never-ending stream. The world and his wife are about their business with never a thought that war looms perilously close. But on the second floor of the hotel, Britain's master spy glances rapidly up and down the passageway. The coast is clear, as he thinks, and he steps quickly forward to room number 23. Raises his hand and gives a secret signal. He opens the door swiftly and steps inside.
Oh, on time, Captain Neville.
Yes. You are Mr. Churchill's secretary?
Yes. Can you leave for Paris immediately?
If need be, yes. But I have a luncheon appointment with my wife.
Well, she can go to Paris with you. So much the better. It will allay any suspicion.
What's the assignment? Russia?
Yes. I can tell you that much. But you'll get your final instructions from Drebkov in Paris.
There are a lot of things I would rather do than go to Russia.
Oh, but this is different.
What do you mean, different?
Well, this time you're going to Russia at a request and with the assistance of the Russian government.
Oh, that sounds better.
You've never met Drebkov, have you?
No, I never have.
Well, he'll hand you your final instructions in Paris. He's conferring right now with the foreign secretary. This time, instead of hiding in the sewers by day and crawling the blood-soaked streets of Odessa by night, you're going to be the honored guest of the country.
The honored guest of the country. Had Gerald Neville heeded the small voice of intuition, things might have been different. But the next night found Britain's master spy and his wife seated in their hotel room in Paris, speaking to Drebkov.
You remember once when you were hunted day and night? No place was safe and escape seemed impossible? Alexander, the Alexander who used to work in Moll's saloon, came to you and smuggled you aboard a motorboat and so to safety.
Yes.
How think you that Alexander could find escape for Britain's master spy who could not find it for himself?
Well, I certainly thank you. That was the closest I ever came to being caught.
Gerald.
Yes, dear.
That man is still watching. Look, there he is, standing in that doorway.
He is probably one of my men. I have had you guarded ever since you left London.
You have two of them watching?
No. Quickly, let me see.
Just at the corner there. He's been there since dusk.
Spies on our trail, eh? I will signal my men. Pull down the blind, quick. Now, put out the light. Put up the blind again. Now I signal with my flashlight. Watch closely.
I don't see anything. Oh, now I do. Quick flash of light.
Look, you see two gentlemen come down the street arm in arm?
And the man at the doorway is moving to meet them.
The other man's going to run away.
But he will not run far.
They killed him.
But yes, that is what happens to spies when they are caught.
But it's cold-blooded murder.
Calm yourself, my dear.
No, murder is not the word. Execution. That is the word.
It's horrible.
It is necessary.
But the police. Aren't you afraid the police will trace this?
The police? What will the police find? A dead man without identification. It will be but one more chapter added to the mysteries of Paris. Eh, but come, we have more pleasant than never. Why it is that we of Russia desire you to go there?
Yes, naturally, it is a bit puzzling.
I cannot go into details, but it seems that some of our comrades have not been faithful to the people. We have not been able to find out who they are.
And you wish me to go to Russia to track them down?
That is only a small part of what you are to do. We are prepared to pay you a large sum of money for your assistance. Instead of, as before, being hunted like an animal, you will live in well-appointed quarters here.
Yes, sir. Pardon me a second, will you? Hello? Oh, London calling, yes. Yes, put them on the wire. Oh, hello? Yes, this is Captain Neville. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, I can, sir. Oh, of course, it makes all the difference in the world. Very clever, I'd say, sir. Certainly, sir. Good night, sir.
It is very late, and I have much work to do. What do you say to our proposal?
I accept.
What was said in that mysterious phone call, we shall never know. But obviously, Captain Neville believed that the British government had worked for him in Russia, and that the government had encouraged him to accept Drebkov's proposition. Neville left Paris with Drebkov, and after a few weeks of waiting in vain for a letter, Mrs. Neville visits a high British official.
What makes you think that we should know anything of Captain Neville?
Well, I know he went...
Yes, Mrs. Neville?
You know, I can't say that. He was a secret agent. His mission is confidential. But he received a telephone call.
No one in this department telephoned?
The night we were in Paris, I was there when he answered the phone.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Neville. No such telephone call is recorded from London to Paris by this department.
But he's my husband. You don't expect me to sit idly by and not make any effort to find him.
No, Mrs. Neville. We don't expect you to sit idly by.
You won't help me?
Officially, we can do nothing. But unofficially, I will do everything I can to find your husband.
But all the searching, letter writing, inquiring availed nothing. Gerald Neville had disappeared. No one could be found who had seen him get off the train. No one who had seen him enter Russia. No one who had seen him at all. Gerald Neville had disappeared. He was as if he had never been. In just a moment, you will hear a solution to the mystery of Gerald Neville. Ladies and gentlemen, inasmuch as any solution must of necessity be supposition, liberties of time, place, and character have been taken in the solution for which you have been waiting. The scene is the Montmartre district of Paris. Far back from busy streets, lost in the squalor and gloom of Paris, stands an old house. Its shuttered windows like sightless eyes belying the activity in one of its sordid rooms. Four men and a woman stand bending over a table, examining papers and photographs in the light of a guttering candle stuck in the neck of an empty bottle.
Here are four pictures of the real Drebkov. Look at them and tell me, will I not pass for Drebkov? You, Sonia, you know him best of all. Tell me.
You will pass even to the voice. And remember, Neville has never met Drebkov. But the story I have told you about Alexander helping Neville to escape in the motorboat will convince him that you are the real Drebkov.
And now here are three pictures of Winston Churchill's secretary. Look at them carefully and tell me, will Kornilov pass for him?
I would say they are the same man. I watched Churchill's secretary for weeks. I have taught Kornilov all his little mannerisms. He cannot fail.
I will not fail, comrade.
Neville is to have lunch with his wife. I found that out by listening to the telephone. Not for nothing have I been washing dishes and playing the housemaid in his home. But enough. You go, Korniloff, to the hotel. At 12:05. Neville will come to you at 12:00.
Now, one more thing. The telephone call to Paris. It must be at the exact moment. We will compare our watches, and at 10:04, you will call Neville. I shall be talking with him, and you must imply in your talk that the British government wishes Neville to accept my proposal. You pretend that you are Winston Churchill, but you must not speak that name.
I understand.
Then our plans are ready. You, Sonia, send word to the comrades at Petrograd that at last we are to be avenged on Britain's master spy.
The scene changes to the Russian border. Drebkov's plans have succeeded. And one night, a black, inky night, finds the false Drebkov leading Neville to his doom. The two men lying flat on the ground recover their breath after the sharp dash across the open strip of frontier. The false Drebkov whispers to Neville.
Remember what I told you. The whole frontier is charged with electricity. There is only one place we can get through.
I don't see the necessity for all this secrecy.
Your entrance into Russia must be known only to a few. If the man we wish to trap were to learn that you are in Russia, all our precautions would be in vain.
Oh, I suppose so, but still I don't like it.
You are not afraid?
No, I am not afraid. There's no sense in being foolhardy.
It is almost time. Our friends will be waiting. I know the way, so I will go first. When I reach the opening, where it is safe to pass through the wire, I will flash my flashlight 3 times. Goodbye.
I will give him about 2 minutes. Oh, do I see a light? No, I guess I was mistaken. By Jove, my nerves are bad. Ah, there goes the flashlight.
So comes to an end the life of one of the greatest spies of all time. That Captain Neville was trapped is borne out by the facsimile of a letter which we quote. The date is the 22nd of December, 1927. It is addressed to Mrs. Neville. Dear Madam, your letter of the 13th of December, and to say that it appears to have been written under a complete misapprehension. Your husband did not go into Russia at the request of any British official, but he went there on his own private affairs. Mr. Churchill much regrets that he is unable to help you in regard to this matter, because according to the latest reports which have been made public, Mr. Neville met his death in Moscow after his arrest there. The letter is signed by Mr. Winston Churchill's secretary. The letter demonstrates clearly that Mr. Churchill knows nothing of the plot, because the report of Neville's death to which he refers was a fictitious report placed in the London newspapers by Mrs. Neville herself in order to tempt the Cheka into a denial and a statement as to what had actually happened to Britain's master spy.
Please turn the cassette over at this point to begin side 2.